So now we're moving into the next section of our Randy Dandy workshop. Yeah, 10-minute private workshop. Thanks, Gretchen. Another mic. I don't have a mic right now. I'm just gonna carry on with this, and then you can plug your headphones in there, and just play it with that. So, what we're gonna do is learn how to publish text, pictures, audio, or video that you can process on your computer to a website and have it be hosted for free. It's a really simple process, and this is actually the key component to the open publishing system that makes indie media as we know it on the website so amazing, because it gives a voice to anyone who just gets this key information. How do you actually do it? So what you do is come over to a computer, and you can go to any indie media website, www.indiemedia.org. Right now we're looking on our computer at dc.indiemedia.org. And
but indiemedia.org itself is the main page, right?
Yep, the main global page is www.indiemedia.org. And that is evolved to actually just host now on the front page feature stories from all of the other indie media sites. They get automatically syndicated, which is really great. So you get the best of the best featured stories in local communities around the country, around the world. So that's what that site's for now. So I don't actually think it has a publishing newswire, as we call it, but it's not on the front page anymore. It's on a secondary page. But on the DC site, the newswire that you get your stuff published to is on the right side here, the right-hand column, and it's called, you know, latest news, and there's little headlines and a little icon that indicates whether it's a picture or video or text files. These little icons tell you what kind of media it is. And then it's just a headline and the day and time it was posted. These are things other people loaded up from their computer. Yep, you can do the same. You can if you have the technology. You just have to have access to it. So we're sitting on a very fast internet connection right now, I think, so things will happen more quickly for you. But you can go to the library and publish a story, get the news out, and just to at least say, hey, you know, there was been an explosion or whatever. You know, if you're there, you can go to one of these sites and get it out there. Journalists monitor it, see it. They pick up the story. They make some phone calls, and things happen. So anyway, that's just the news. So you go to the site, and we're going to go to...
I don't think this is working.
Look for the word the publish link. Now, on different sites, it might be in different locations on the web page. We'll go to Alberta, Canada's website, and let's see. Their publish link is somewhere else. Publish is right here. So just look for the word publish, because that's what we're doing. Publishing your media. Now, it has instructions, really crystal clear instructions on what to do. It might be each website of the Indie Media Network has its own editorial policies. So if you go to different sites and read them, they might be slightly different. The directions might be a little bit different. They might have different legalese. Germany, for example, tells you, you know, you can't publish swastikas to our website. It's a little different situation in different countries. Just interesting thing. So you follow the directions. I'm just going to go back to DC and show you our site, because that's what I work on. And I'm going to click on publish, and it says, before, you know, been doing hot protests, got a big idea to share with activists, want to show off your photos. This is how you do it. Use a form. There's a newswire policy. This one's, you know, got its own rules. We can read them, but we don't do it now. It's got some tips also. So here it is. The first thing is multimedia file uploading. We've built into the code a way that if you know you have 10 pictures that you want to publish, you can reset this form. I'll show you the rest of the form. Here's where you put your multimedia files. There's one there by default, but let's say I got, you know, 5 pictures, and I want to do them all at once just to save time. So I'll change that to 5. I'll hit reload. Let me do it. And now I have 5 slots in the form to upload my pictures. Other websites have maybe more functionality, more options for you to work with. The DC one just has this. So you have a place for the title. This is the title of your story that's going to appear on the newswire. You can put your name in the author-producer field if you want. You can put a pen name. You can put whatever you want. There's a place for email address, for your phone number, for your address, so people can contact you, give it authenticity.
This will be published too?
This all gets published. So,
but if you don't want to put your phone number,
then you don't have to put it in there.
So you don't have to fill every...
You don't have to fill out all the forms. Nope, it's anonymous. But journalists want to put their phone number and stuff if they're contacted so they can get contacted. The summary field is just a little blurb. That's another...
like a headline.
Yeah, there's a headline, which is the title. Mm-hmm. That's its own field. And then the summary field is just a brief summary. And that may get shared in other databases. Right. So it is useful. And it's required. You have to put something in the summary for the database to work. Here's a field for a web page in case you have a referring web page. And then here's the space for the text that you want to paste into. So I can go, let's say I have a, you know, I found a story somewhere else. I don't know. I wrote something up. So I'll go to my word processing program like Microsoft Word, and I'll go over here and I'll hit copy, and then I'll go back to the DCIM, the form page, and I'll click in this here, and I'll hit paste, and it pastes it in. Mm-hmm. So I might have a story emailed to me as an attachment, or I might work on it, bring it on a disk to the library, just on a floppy disk, pop it in where there's internet access, and then copy and paste. Paste it on in there, and then I click here if I want to upload a picture or something, and I go click in the field, hit browse, and now it's telling me, okay, go find on your hard drive, you know, where you have the pictures that you want to publish. So you go and you search your hard drive, you say, okay, I want to publish this, you know, MP3 file. So I hit open, and what it's doing is putting in the field the path on your hard drive to where it is, C, audio, you know, 415, wrap up, MPEG. So that's just set. So now I hit publish. And I'm not going to do that with this because I haven't filled out the form. But what would happen is you'd wait. Just hit publish once and you wait and wait and wait until the file gets all the way uploaded to the server. And then a page comes back and says, thank you.
The server of DC in the media.
Mm-hmm. It gets published to a computer there. And the file gets transferred from your hard drive up there. And if you're attaching files like we are, it's going to take longer. You know, let's say this file is a few megabytes. If I'm on a modem connection, you know, a 56K at home, I can still do it. I have to just be patient because 5, you know, megs is going to take
100 megabytes.
That's the maximum. So.
But an audio file, though, 100 megabytes translates to how many minutes?
100 megabyte MP3 file would probably be maybe 20 hours, several hours.
Really?
Oh yeah, depends on the quality of the audio. If it's CD quality, it's much, much bigger. I think a song, a CD song, 4-minute song, stereo, high quality, 4 megabytes. So just imagine, you know, several CDs worth of audio to translate into what's real. So I hit and wait and wait and wait, and then you come to it, say, okay, thanks very much for publishing, and then you'd have a link to go back to the newswire.
And then it shows where?
So then it shows in that column, on the right side, latest news, this is a queue. The newest stories are published up here. This is the last story that was published, you know, August 9th at 5:24. So that was, you know, about 40 minutes ago. So if someone publishes another story, it's going to replace that one and push this down. And as I scroll down, I see all these other stories. There's tons of stories here that people have published. I'm going to keep scrolling, and then it says continue to the Indie Media Newswire. So I'm going to keep going. And here is another way that they show you the newswire. It's just in little blurbs. So you have, see these this field here, these lines? This is the summary. So the summary field is used to display all of the stories on this one page.
Gotcha.
That's why it's useful to have it put a useful summary in.
Not the summary of the ones that we saw on that homepage. The summary of the ones that are beyond that page.
Yeah, the summary is that one field on the form, the upload form, that you want to fill out. So what we're seeing here, this text is coming from that summary field. These are stories. And then when I click on the link, it you know, if there's more text to it or more pictures, they show up here. Now we have an... So this is now showing me all of the stories in little summary format. If there's a picture, it shows it to me. I keep scrolling down, and I go all the way to the bottom of the page, and you'll see page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. This is a history of Newswire postings that go back years. You know, if it's been around, we can go to page 11. Let's say we go back 11 pages in the Newswire. That may be, you know, a couple hundred stories. That's probably several weeks, you know, worth of time. We went back here. Here's the story, Sunday, June 23rd. So I went to page 11, and I'm looking at a story that's that. So I can see how old things.
Click on the link of one of them.
Okay. So I got the text, and here's the full story in parentheses there. So the headline is Arson and Salvage Logging by Jennifer Hamilton. And then
if this guy sent five pictures, those five pictures would show up here right under one after the
one
other.
One after the other.
What if there was an audio file? Would that show up as a link?
Okay, good question. The question is, what do audio files look like on the page? We're going to go back to the Newswire and see if we can find one. I know where there's one.
Or a video. Audio or video.
Okay. It's really pretty simple looking. I'm going to click on this one. Here's an audio file. The headline is Kwasi Setu, DC activist home after being kidnapped for 11 months. And this is posted August 9th. So the thing you click on to hear the audio is right here. Listen to the report. Sound, MP3, 29.4 megabytes.
And it's a video, it would look the same in the form of a link.
Let's see here. Try to find a video. To show you a video, I'm going to try to find one. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the search field. I'm going to search just for videos. I'm not going to put anything in. I'm just going to hit search. And that's going to spit back to me all the videos that there are, the latest ones. It's not a very sophisticated, you know, display, but you get the headline, you get the link to the video. And let me tell you about my country. So here's the story, and then here's the link. So I can click right on the video or I can go to the story. And this is what it says. Watch this video. I'm going to move my mouse over the link, and I can see in the bottom of my browser, down at the bottom, it shows me the link. And see how it says .ram? That's a real media file. So that proves to me, that this is the link to the video. If I click on this one, that's not going to bring me to the video. It's this one.
Now, this is on somebody else's server, not on Indie server, though.
No, this is on, I'm going to put the link over. Nope, this is on our server. Actually, it's on an affiliate server. LoudEye.com is a company that donates to the Indie Media Network bandwidth and space. We have a computer, I think, that's located there that's ours with lots of hard drive space. And what happens is the file gets uploaded, and then it gets transferred automatically to their server, which has much more bandwidth than our server does. That's how we're supported. So now I'm looking at the video. My Real Media Player popped up automatically because I have it installed, Real Player. And it's 67 kilobits per second. It's a kind of looks like an okay video. It's not super high quality. And it says it's 9 minutes and 53 seconds. And here's how far it's gone so far. And I can sit and listen to it.
Is that okay for me to ask questions?
Please, I want to make sure I get it on.
Yeah, and once you upload that, then there is no way to cancel it, right? Once you upload that, that's it. You have no more control.
Once it's uploaded, it's there on the Newswire. If you made a mistake, like let's say you put your email address in by accident, you didn't want people to contact you, or you made a mistake, or you didn't want the video on after all, you can contact the InterMedia site that you put it on and say, hey, I made a mistake. There is a way to hide all the stories that you want to hide. I'll show you how that works. It's open. People can see that. So I'm going to go here, and if you look at the top of our page, you might have to look around on other pages. There's a link on this. When you look at stories, there's a link to administration. So this is the back end, you know, the secret back door to controlling all the stories. And this is a way that people can see what stories have been hidden and what stories are published. So, and it's also the way that the people running the website can administer and maintain things. Because, for example, let's say you hit the publish button twice. You didn't realize it, or you're impatient, and you're like, did I hit it or not? The story is going to get published twice. And since we don't want to have stories twice on there, we'll hide one. So that's a harmless use of, it's not censorship, it's just editing. So there really isn't many stories that are censored unless they're completely, you know, meaningless posts that are polluting the Newswire. We might do a little more maintenance of, you know, hiding stories that don't really contribute anything to the news gathering process. But this is how you do it. It shows you, you know, it's got the headline, edit story, whether it's rated. There's actually a rating system so that popular stories come to the top few. There's better code out there. And if I wanted to administer this, I'd need to have the password, and I'd put the password in here, and then go, click on the story, hit edit story, and I can change your email address to something else if you ask, or take a story down, change a link.
But I have to send you an email.
You have to send an email to
you with a password, go in there and do it.
And there's a, you wouldn't actually send it to me personally, but somebody. You'd just DC at Indie Media, to the organization. And then that gets forwarded on to the editorial collective, which makes decisions and divides labor and says, you know, can you do this? And
but a regular user doesn't have access to this page. It is the administrator.
You can view this page just like I did, but you can't edit it. That's the question.
I understand how to put pictures into my computer and save them and download them onto this. How do I do audio and video?
You want to learn how to save audio and video and upload it? Okay, good question. That's like
it's
own little workshop, sort of. I could show you some tools, but if we can, I can show you that in a second. We'll stay on topic of sort of the more components of the newswire, so you really know how to get a handle on publishing and what's going to happen with your story. Let me show you one other thing. Now, you notice that on the DC Indie Media site, we have stories in the middle column. These are features, as we call them. These are newswire items. Certain stories get featured because the decision is made by an editorial group. Hey, look at this newswire posting. This guy went out and got great video or did some research or did a story. Let's feature it. They make a decision, they vote or something, whatever their process is. And then they use the back end, more forms. They fill out more forms and they make links to the page to make the feature, you know, have a picture and a headline. And, you know, they say, watch this video. So, you know, breaking news, August 9th, housing is a human right, occupation leads to arrest. So this guy, Mike Fluganok, was there. He did some video and posted it to the Newswire or to his own website. And then there's some time, you know, 4:10, 9 o'clock, it breaks down what happened. There's a picture there. And we could go back and probably find that story on the Newswire as it was published. And then we see that it was featured. So let's say you publish a story to the Newswire. You know, they're not omnipotent characters behind the scenes at the indie media sites. It's all volunteers. So they might miss a great story because there's so many stories posted. They might not know that there's something worth featuring. So it's a good idea to either get involved with the indie media group, just participate as a contributor and say, hey, I contribute stuff, you know, how do I get it featured? And then there's a process. You send a message to the list, a mailing list, and say, hey, this is a good story. This has this. Would you like to feature it? And then the people who worry about making sure the features are up will be glad to hear it, that there's something good. And then, feature it, or they'll make a decision. So that's the process by which content moves through with this particular indie media site. First, things get posted to the Newswire by the world. Anyone can do it if they have access and know-how. It gets up there, and then stories are slowly featured. Hopefully, you know, we'll get as good as like the San Francisco website, indie media site, which is just totally rich with content of local news. I mean, it's the DC site is getting there, but there's not as many people who know how to use it and who have the time and who are volunteering to do it. And more people need to know how. So, that's one reason why. But if we go to the San Francisco site, it's really, really well done. They have their own code, which is different code than the code behind the DC site. And you can actually change the color once you look at the website. It's pretty amazing. San Francisco, it's sf.indiemedia.org. So you can change how things look. And if you notice, if you really read it, there's a lot more local news on their site. And they have much more. I mean, they have a vibrant activist community. They've got the environmental movements out there. There's always news happening. And they know how to use their indie media site. So we want to always train as many people and give them the tools to train other people and just train others. Like, check out this website. This is how you do it.
Indie media has kind of changed my life. Indie media is changed my life. It's one of those things. I drive a school bus. I get up at 5 a.m., turn on my computer, check my mail, and go to Indie Media. So,
in what city are you living?
I live in Livingston Manor right here. But I can get the news from Portland, from San Francisco, from anywhere. It's just around the world. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and that's great to hear that we have people, you know, getting up and actually reading. Sometimes you never know, you know.
And I tell all my friends about it. I mean, I must have turned on a good 10, 20 people in Livingston Manor alone, and so they're all doing this now. And then we get together and we talk, did you read this story, and did you hear about that? Did you know this was happening? Now, you guys are doing it.
Yeah, this. I mean, I'm standing on the shoulders of just hundreds and hundreds of people who know so much. I mean, it's amazing the knowledge that's just shared and given away for people to use.
I guess a question about how to create audio and video. You were going to respond.
Yeah, one more quick note about the Newswire. So we have stories that get posted to the Newswire, open publishing. Anyone can publish any old crap. I mean, and then Cyrus Featured. Then there's the main indie media website. And there's this new code that they've come up with, which is kind of news to people, a lot of people, and it's called syndication code. You don't have to really care about the fact that there's code. I'm just telling you the background. It's kind of not that important. But what it does is it's running, and it automatically scours all of the websites, or most of the indie media websites that it can, that have this, you know, that have the code, you know, the capacity and the stuff installed and all that stuff, and it looks for features. And then it goes and automatically posts these features to the global website Newswire. So instead of the public publishing a lot of stuff, we've got a really rich filter automatically doing the work for us. So you've got collectives of people all around the country in their own little indie media groups saying, okay, let's feature this story. Let's make a feature. Let's do this. They're making decisions. And then you have computers making decisions. Okay, they made a decision. Let's feature this. And now we have, if I just read some, there's, you know, this is IMC Sweden, Ingenbostadt, I don't know what it's about, I have to click on it to find out, Civil Liberties from Ontario IMC, IDF versus Activisti in Indie Media Italia. So you can click on the story or you can click on the actual Indie Media website. So it's, and it has also, here it looks like EN, that might represent English, so it has a language built into it too, which is really, I mean, these are faculties of the website that we've always wanted to have, and it's just taken some time for the volunteers working away all around the world, in you know, the geeks really behind the scenes, to just finally get to it. And it's, they really deserve like so much credit that they don't get. I mean, it's unreal. So, the questions about the Newswire stuff, like what kind of things before we get into how to make videos and audios. What do you, any questions about? I mean. Do you think you'll use it?
I think I can use it, yeah.
Okay. So, you got some audio on tape. Mm-hmm. And or mini disc, whatever. And you want to get it to your computer. Mm-hmm. Got to get some software, like Cool Edit Pro, which I'm showing you on the computer here. I'm going to open up Cool Edit Pro, and this is, you know, software costs a couple $100 maybe. I don't even know. You know, how much it costs, maybe $150, I don't know, $300, $400, anyone know?
Is that for the whole program?
Yeah, they have different versions of the program. There's a version that has certain features enabled and other versions. But anyway, you get your hands on the software. Open it up and you open up a sound file, or let's say you record your file into the computer. Do you know how to do that yet?
No.
So what you do on this laptop, on computers, there are sound cards, which are pieces of hardware with little holes in it. I can show you on here, the holes are right down here, and there's usually a mic input indicated by a little icon that kind of looks like an old school microphone or something. And then there's a line input, which is indicated by maybe some sound waves with an arrow pointing to the center, or it might even say line on it. You want to use the line input if you're going to record from a tape deck to your computer or from your mini disc recorder to your computer. So you go out, you know, just get the right cables and adapters, which you can figure out, plug it into the computer in the line input. And then when you have your software open, you hit record and you hit play on your device and it starts playing. And hopefully if your sound card's configured right and your computer, it'll hear what's coming into the line input. That's the plan. So I can't give an example of that now, but let's say it worked for you. You recorded something, I hit record. I can record different sample rates. This represents the quality of what I'm about to record. I say okay, and I'm going to hit the record button, and here it goes. So what it's doing, you can see the red line jumping up and down in Cool Edit Pro, and it's recording what's coming through my sound card. I don't have anything in my line inputs, but I am streaming, or I'm listening to our stream that we're producing right now, WBIX. I can turn it up and you can hear it.
Oh, thanks for sharing your story.
So, that's it. So, what Cool Edit's doing is recording the sound right from what's playing.
That's
So let's say, for example, you're listening to some news online. Mm-hmm. You're listening, you're using Real Player. If the computer's sophisticated enough, you can open up an editing program, hit record while you're playing the thing on the software, and it'll hear it and record it. So you can sample it and then post it to the Indymedia site and say, look, here's proof. You know, Cheney is actually dead, and there's a clone walking around, or whatever news you find, you can sample a piece of it. So what I'm going to...
Watch what you're asking for, you might get it.
Watch what I'm asking for, I might get it. Okay, so I'm going to hit stop because I'm done recording, and I'm going to turn this down. So I have a sample. It says it's untitled, and this is what a waveform looks like. And here's 0 decibels, and here's 30,000 decibels. I can just tell you that this sounds good, or this looks good. I don't have to hear it. It's not distorted. It's not too soft. It's not too loud, because I know that this looks good. So now I'm going to go save. Save as, and you have a whole bunch of different formats you can save in. I'm going to tell you two. Wave is the standard, uncompressed, high-quality, big audio format for Windows. Wave files. Wave files are the files that are on CDs. When you listen to CDs in your CD player, they're wave files. But when you're putting files on the internet, you never want to put a wave file. It's too big. So instead of a wave, you save your wave file, because you want to have that, or whatever. But we're going to save it as something else. We're going to save it as Real Media. Check it out. I go save as, and I can change the type. I've got all these different types. Sound file, SND, .rm, sample vision, PCM. These are all formats that are dated, actually. I don't even know how. Some of those might be Macintosh formats, and they're for cross-platform saving. Some may be formats that were old and never, ever used ever anymore, but they're built in for people who might want to use them on older computers. I mean, whatever. I only use like 3 formats, Wave, MP3, and Real Media. I never really use any other formats. So I'm going to make a Real Media file out of this. So now it's got .rm. I'm going to call it, test. And it's going to remember where I save it on my computer. I save in the audio and hit save. And over here it tells me, it's 41 seconds long. And it should be saving as, hopefully. Yeah, saving. And it just takes some time. And now I'm gonna have a final Real Media file ready to upload.
Right. So in that place where you would have looked for the picture before, you're gonna hit browse and you're gonna find this file and enter it there.
Exactly. Question.
Yeah. Is a Real Media file, is that, what kind of size is that? Is that smaller than a MP3, compression-wise, or what kind of a bit rate is that? I mean, do you know offhand?
Okay, Real Media files and MP3 files are just files that compress. MP3 files are preferable for doing high-quality audio. Real Media files are also another kind of compression. People say they don't sound as good. You don't really notice if you're just putting up, someone talking. But within each time you save it, there's other software I can show you how to save it. But there's other, you can save it as a low quality MP3 or a high quality MP3. That changes the file size in the end. So the way to think about it is, if you think about, shortwave radio, sounds really bad. It's like, low quality, it's like AM. Well, if you want to save a file that's really small and that's available to listen to on a normal modem line, you want to save it at 16K, 16 kilobits per second. If you have a 56K modem, you got to make sure that 16K worth of stuff is going to be able to get through your modem line to your speaker when you listen to the file. If I make a 64K Real Media file, it's never going to make its way through my modem connection. It's going to buffer, it's going to stick and skip. So think about it in terms of K and how fast your modem is, and then that translates into the sound quality. 16K sounds like AM, it's mono. 32K sounds better, a lot better actually, but it can't always go through modems because there's, it's actually maybe 40K. There's always some overhead on the files. It's not just...
Where did you decide on that 16K?
I'm going to show you after this looks like it's done saving. I don't know if this is working or not working, but it says it is.
You just said save it in this format.
It says, this program is not responding. Because That tells me that it got hung up. Something went wrong. Maybe the computer's been on too long. Let's say my monitor's a little messy. I'm going to show you Sonic Foundry SoundForge. You might want to write that down. SoundForge 5.0.
Sounds like a lot of people use it.
Yeah, SoundForge is a really well-known program. Cool Edit Pro, which I just showed you, can do multi-track editing. I can have multiple tracks. I can have an intro, I can have my song, and I can have my content and have multiple tracks and fade them in and out and mix. SoundForge, you can't do that. It's just a high-quality sound editing program. You can do a lot with it, but I don't really do much except get rid of noise, make things high volume, increase the volume, and that's about it. But you can do a much. There's a really powerful software meant for musicians, so you can resample and take out. You can do a lot of crazy stuff. Change flange, add pitch control. You can just change the sound in so many ways. But for what we're doing, it's really not so important. But let's say I'm going to open up one of these files. This is October. It's a big WAV file. And I'll show you, when you save as MP3, you have options in a pull-down menu, 16K, 32K. It's in that option of save.
It didn't give you that option.
Cool Edit, I think Cool Edit did give me the option, but I didn't look at it. I didn't demonstrate that option. So that's the basic.
Thank you, I learned.
Well, okay, what is your name?
Mohammed.
Mohammed, where are you from?
Albany.
I'm Albany, New York. Mohammed, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Hope it works out. See you later. So we shared the knowledge with some people. That was great. I think we fulfilled our commitment to it's really important. We try to have workshops wherever we go. Whenever we're setting up our gear, have a workshop. That's like the thing that keeps it all going. If we don't have workshops, we kind of keep the knowledge, protected, and that's completely antithetical to our mission, which is to share the knowledge beyond, people who know. People who have computers don't have computers. Anybody.
I was talking to Jason in the car. We went home for an hour, and I'm doing the news track, which is great, and I love it because it's all hands-on, and you're interviewing, and you're doing all that stuff. But one of my complaints was that I was going to miss you. So I really wanted to learn how to post things to Indymedia. So you being here is like a godsend. Thank you.
I'm glad I waited around. We had a little conflict of the workshop times, but I just waited till your workshop was done, and then it worked out. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, okay. So, and I came into this late. I was wondering, in inviting you here to come and checking out the IMCs, I was really pleased to find out that New York State, here where we are, New York State, actually has 5 indie media centers. I think, like, New York City, Capital Area, Ithaca, Buffalo, and I think there's another one, but I'm not sure. So at least 4. But so we might have a bit more flexibility. But like for folks like us that live in a rural area, where we're close to New York City, but then again, we're not close enough where we go down there regularly to cover news there, and that news doesn't affect us up here. We have different news up here. We have people coming that want to open up a casino, or we have people that want to do an energy plant, or our reservoirs are low, or there's an environmental concern, or a wildlife concern. What is there for us to put on to the indie media, or how does it work in such a way that, I don't know if it would make enough sense to have like the Sullivan County indie media center, but is there anything that we could report on that even indie media centers as far away as from us, like 2.5 hours in New York City, or in other places, because they seem to be local entities. Would they be interested in anything that we have to talk about, or what do you ever tell people in rural areas how they should use the indie media centers?
So you have like 3 or 4 indie media centers in your area.
In
the state, like there's one in all. They're 3 hours away. Gotcha. Yep. So, what I would do, and this is, there's black holes of, indie media coverage all over, but because it's open publishing, you can publish your story to any one of the websites. You can't, go to your library and say this is what's happening. And most people, I think, have been using, like I've seen stories that are far out from Albany, but they're posting it to the Albany or Mohawk Valley IMC, I think it is, it's called, to Capital Area, to try to or Mohawk region, yeah, whatever. I'm not. There's an Ohio regional one, and they were trying to expand their coverage to not just be a certain city, to give that community identity. So, I mean, your question of what can you post or what stories, anything.
What advice would people look down on that?
I think because you live in a rural area, it doesn't matter, and you don't have access to a local, quote-unquote, local IMC. You know, you don't have to worry about people saying, hey, you know, that's too far out or whatever. It's really about getting the stuff out there. So make a decision of what IMC you want to post to and post it. I mean, people from San Francisco post some San Francisco stories that maybe have a national angle to the D.C. site. You know, no one really gets that upset. But if people started posting, you know, local stories that have nothing to do with D.C. on the D.C. site, the D.C. folks would be like, you know, is that good for our, you know, they want to manage their information. So the question will be posed. But it's not that big of a deal, really. Just post to wherever you can get it up there. If something people are interested in. Exactly. I mean, to be honest with you, there are so many stories now, and we've heard this. I've heard this twice at this conference. They were at the Grassroots Radio Conference in, where are we at? In Calhoun Center, New York. And just for the ID, what is it? It's August 9th. 2002. So we're here, and I heard the comment that, you know, local news is ever more becoming global news. It's really, when you have a local news story, it's a global news story too. You know, there's no such thing as a local news story anymore. I don't think that's really the case. It's just that the so-called global stories, that we think it's global because it's also happening somewhere else, it's another local story, but somewhere else. Everything is a local story, is the real sort of realization. You know, the fact that there's water privatization starting to happen in New York and other parts of this country that's new is old news to the other locale of, you know, Cochabamba, Bolivia. Maybe even be the same company, Bechtel, might be starting to move in another market in a part of the world. Everything is a local story. We're just one globe. It's a silly realization. There's no distinction, though, between our relationship, between what's going on with our water here and the water on the other side of the planet. And it's all being connected together by this news that we are learning about through this global news network that one company, perhaps, I don't know if it's true, but a few companies are vying on privatizing water all around the world. So this is a huge story, huge global story, but huge local story all over the place. Now, Bechtel tried to privatize the water in Bolivia. That's a fact. But I don't know what their other plans were in other parts of the world. But there are other private companies that want to privatize and are talking about privatizing water systems in other cities. New York is one I heard today. So what's the point? I mean, the point is we have a global indie media network that's sharing news with other locales, locale to locale to locale to locale. We still have our local flavor. We still have our local issues. We still are a community in our local areas. But our connection now and our understanding of what it feels like, you know, or what this issue means to me, to the peasant in Bolivia, you know, who was shot for fighting for their water rights, for example, is much more intimate. It's much more real and important. That's what's so amazing to me, to hear these stories being shared, and it's the same exact story. So it's like, it doesn't matter what newswire you post it to for a lot of the stories happening nowadays. This is kind of my real point. You know, if your story is about water private, you know, some issue locally, hey, post it to the site that, you know, gets to the fastest, you know, and just, you know, get it out there. It's all about empowering local people to get the word out.
And you email the audio? You email the audio? Like, I didn't catch the end of that talk.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're picking back up with our WAV file. No. And we're jumping around. That's okay. So I've got now a WAV file opened up on my computer using SoundForge. And let's see. You know, the layout's a little different, but it still gives you the same information. It's 18 minutes long. Here's what it looks like. You've got all these options. It's unbelievable. And I'm just going to go and save as. Let me just back up a second. The thing to you want to worry about when you're dealing with multimedia files, you know, you come as close as you need to come. Like, there's, you know, I can only move the computer up. The thing you want to worry about is the file size. Really. File size. You want to manage your hard drive space properly because these are big files.
That's why I was asking about the bit rate.
And the bit rate, you know, the sound quality. And then you're going to be sharing this with other people. So it's almost offensive to send somebody or post, you know, to somewhere a huge file.
That's why I was asking about bit rate.
Yeah. When you know you can compress it and make it smaller. So here are the tools you need to make it smaller. First, get a grip on how big the file is, and I'm going to go and try to see how big this file is I'm working with. I go back to Sonic Foundry, and up here I've got, October 6th interviews, Arabic.wav. So these are interviews in Arabic. And I believe that is in here. Here it is, October 6, 2001, Aaron Rivers Arabic.wave, 94 megabytes.
Oh,
it's 18, I think it's even longer than 18 minutes. This thing is maybe not. Yep, it's 18 minutes long. So an 18-minute wave file, it's the 44 kilohertz. Here's another piece of info. This is CD quality, 44 kilohertz, and it's a 16-bit mono. And it's 94 megs, so this is gigantic, and that's expected. That's like, okay, big file, now we got to make it small. How does it look when it's small? Well, I go to Save As, and I choose, I open it up, I've edited it, I made it sound all nice, here's how I play, kind of listening to it. Okay, it's all good and perfect, now I go Save As, and here are my menu items. I can go Save As Type, and here's the options. It even has this new format, Ogg Vorbis, which is an open source audio compression format, which is picking up speed out there. There's no server serving it, and it's not prolific yet, but it's not owned by anybody. That format's not owned by anybody. And that's an interesting issue of intellectual property. You don't need permission from anybody to use it. It's just out there. You just got to get it. Not shareware. It's open source, so it's, I mean, there's, if someone wants to make a shareware piece of software to use Ogg Vorbis, then they can, but there's free open source software out there. So that's the idea behind open source. Now I'm going to save it as MP3. I'm just showing you that format and talking about it because it's kind of interesting. So I go MP3, and then here I have, in this software, I have this option of 64, 96, and 128.
You can't go any smaller?
Can't go any smaller in this software. I'm going to show you here how big it is. So that file saved as an MP3 as the same quality, 6444, which is broadcast quality, is 8 megabytes.
Yep.
Or actually, is that it? Yeah, I think I changed the name. So it's much, much more. It went from 94 megabytes to 8 megabytes. Now it's very manageable. You know, it's still a big file for a modem, but for what we're doing, it's 18 minutes of broadcast quality audio.
But what about emailing this to an IMC? Is it still too big for that? I mean, it's,
the question is,
we're talking about like the 32.
Yeah, emailing it to an IMC. I wouldn't email this file to anybody, but I would use when sharing files like this, multimedia files. Unless you know that someone has DSL or a very fast internet connection and they can handle such a large file, then you go for it. But typically speaking, if you do that, if you just want to go from one person, then email and wait. You know, that's really. But if you want to participate in the indie media thing, when you publish it, you know, it's still going to take as long as it takes via your internet connection to get up there. But now you know to use the MP3. Now I'm going to show you one other piece of software that may help you. It's called MP3 Compressor, and it's another way to compress audio files. And it gives you some more options. So here's one. Karimba Info, I selected it. I'm going to go to Preferences, and here you can also change the quality of the audio, but you have many more options of quality. So I can go from 44 kilohertz down to 16 to 12 to 11 to 8 kilohertz. That's going to sound like shortwave, AM. But if it's just someone talking, you know, people don't care about that quality. They want to hear it. So I can get it as small as possible, and I can email it to someone, and they'll hear it. You know, if they just want to hear the news, that's good. If you want to share it for a radio show, then you got to keep it high quality. But so I would select my quality. I'd say, okay. I'd change my preferences, and I'd hit compress. And let's just do a little test just to see. I'm going to make this 8 kilohertz. And it's MP3 and it's quick, 16 bits per second. I hit OK. I've selected it. I'm going to hit compress. And now it's going to do its thing. And I think it already did it. So now I'm going to go onto my computer and I got to find where is that file. Columbia, it's an audio. Here it is. Columbia MP3, 24K at 8 hertz. So,
this is good.
So let's see here. I'm going to search for it. So as a WAV file, it was 1 megabyte. And as a MP3, it turned into 24K. So you went from 1 meg to 24K by going as low qual, lowest quality as possible, which was, you can email that. And then, yeah, they'll hear it. I don't know. So that's why MP3 compression is so much more appreciated than real media, because you have so much more control and it's a better compressor.
Mm-hmm.
So to play an MP3 file, you need some kind of player that can play those kinds of files. Real player can play MP3 files. There's another program called Winamp, which I'm showing here. This is also free download. So if your friend that you're emailing it to has that software, they double click on it and your computer will automatically know, oh, okay, MP3, I know how to use this. What is your name? You got to go.
Lainey Santoro from WJFF Radio.
And that's in here in Livingston Manor.
It's in Jeffersonville, New York. It's the only hydro-powered radio station in the country.
Wow, I haven't seen the hydro-powered thing yet. I really want to check that out. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for coming to this little workshop, and I'm glad there were some participants. And I can show you more stuff too. It's not over. I mean, I'm just making myself available.
Are you streaming live on the internet right now?
Right now, what we are. This workshop is being streamed live, so everyone's hearing this.
You're stuck here until a certain time?
Nope, I'm not stuck here until a certain time. I think that they're just providing the stream out there, and then when put on music or something, we do that.
You're saying you gotta make sure you don't miss dinner.
Yeah, I can't miss dinner. It's dinner time here at the Grassroots Radio Conference.
We're just trying to check.
Dinner, I'm not sure what time it is. So anyway, is there anything else any other questions you had? Did you have some questions?
About streaming, how do you stream a show? Let's say you take it from another radio show and from a broadcast. And how do you stream it? How do you have it on file, an audio file?
Okay, I'll show you. The basic concept is you got to have, there's many different ways to stream. We have, I'm using Windows 2000 and a set of software that works together to take the audio, encode it into an MP3 stream, and then either, you know, host it for people to connect to my computer, like a server, or to push my stream out, send my stream to another server that then hosts it. That's the concept. So what I do is I take the stream, and I'm going to listen here. I'm listening to this stream. I'm double-clicking on in Winamp, and here's the link. It's buffering, and we're going to listen to WBIX, Exiles and Refugees Radio. Okay, so I'm going to listen to it. It's going to be coming in over the internet. And then, I'm choosing to listen to a program that happens to be on the internet. Check this out. I'm going to just drag this file into my playlist. I just took a file. I had my Winamp window open at the same time as I had Windows Explorer, and I took my MP3 and I just dragged it across and added it to the playlist. So I can add, you know, a whole bunch of files and make a, you know, set it up for 24 hours and walk away. You know, just play them all. So I'm playing that one now. I'm gonna play this one. This is from April 15th, 2000. It's a news wrap-up. Now, I'm playing my stream in Winamp. Here's what it sounds like. So that's what it is, so people can hear out there in radio land. And now, I'm going to open up another piece of software which works with Winamp, and it's a plugin. And it's called Samcast. Samcast version 1.8. Now what Samcast does is here's what Winamp is playing. It listens to it and it does the encoding and sends it to where you want to send it. So I'm going to show you the configuration And this is the basic concept. You can have, I don't know, use these sonic box tags. I don't know what that is. But here's the server stuff. There's two kinds of servers out there. There's Icecast, which runs on Linux, and Shoutcast, which can run on PC or I think even Linux too. Two options in Samcast. These are the most popular out there. We happen to be using an Icecast server. Here's the address of the server we're using. It's a donated server by folks in Seattle. And it's got a password. And there's all these little options. This mount point gives it a unique stream. So what I'm doing is this is the identity for the stream that I'm going to host and push out from this computer right now. So it's called DCIMC. It's got a little description that plays along at the top here of Winamp. So not only are you encoding the sound in MP3 files, but it also has all this other data that gets encoded with it and sent with the stream, which is really great for internet, you know, listening to internet radio, because you can see the title, the year.
But you need the Winamp.
So Winamp is the one of several MP3 players.
Okay.
I'm using this as a player. It's just like a jukebox, and then I'm using Samcast as the way to actually push it out there. Oh, we can write this stuff down later. It's okay.
You've got a little more time. The line's
out the door. Oh, excellent. Okay, so the line's out the door for dinner here, the Grassroots Radio Conference. So I'm going to keep on workshopping it. So
can you download this?
Winamp? You can download Winamp. And you can add other information, the station name and URL of where you can do it, where I get it. Now, all this info gets encoded in with the MP3 stream and it's pushed out. Okay. So now I have an encoding option, and I go to change format. And this is where I choose the quality of the audio stream I'm going to make. I might be listening to really high-quality CD files, really big files on my hard drive, right? They're big, they're nice. But I don't have to have all my listeners listening to that quality. I'm going to have them just listen to nice internet radio, low quality. Every modem can listen to it. And so you can choose here, 32 kilobits per second, 22 kilohertz mono. And, you can give a whole choice. So this is the component of the plugin that says, okay, I'm going to use this compression. I'm going to do it at this rate. This is really the nuts and bolts of how the sound gets transferred into shareable format, and it's all based on just bit rates. And this equals 16 kilobits per second. Sounds like AM radio, just sounds good enough for talk. If I'm streaming sound and I want it to sound like CD quality, if I have the bandwidth to host an awesome CD, I would use 128 kilobits, or maybe 64 kilobits. 24 kilobits stereo.
Yeah.
It sounds really good, actually, compared to. So I set that. And then I can actually, with this Samcast, which is really cool, I can save the stream I'm pushing out right to disk. And I can even split it, the stream save every 30 minutes and make a new file. So I can archive what I'm doing, the whole show, and not have to worry about recording it to tape or with a mini disk externally. I can just hit it. And as long as I have hard drive space on my computer to back up and to keep archiving, I can use this feature. So as long as I'm connected and I'm streaming, this is working as well. It's backing it up. And you can name the file something else, and you can choose where you want to save the files. You can save them in here. You just choose where you want to save them. This one, I happen to have a whole bunch of files that saved. Half an hour of audio. This is a half an hour, half an hour, half an hour. They're all the same thing. This is like 16 kilobits. So half an hour of 16 kilobits is 14 megabytes. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea of how much space it takes up.
Right.
And then I got to close this window. Cancel. Exit. Okay, so now the window's up. I haven't started streaming yet because it still says connect. I'm going to hit connect. Logged in. Streamed.
Okay.
I can set this to auto reconnect. So now what's going on is I'm pushing this file I'm playing right now is being pushed out to this server, and I've made it's the DCIMC web stream, actually, and here are the links for it. So I can listen to the same thing. I'll demonstrate that it's streaming. This should start to play, and you'll hear the same thing we heard here.
This is playing in here. So now I'm listening to this same stream using a different piece of software. Now I'm not a speaker.
So now I'm listening to the stream again using Real Player, just to demonstrate that it's actually pushing it out there and coming back. So I just closed that. So
what page is this one?
This is the DC Independent Media web page. So this is the DC Intermedia. It's down in Washington, D.C. And we demonstrated earlier how to publish stories to the Newswire through the open publishing system. So all of these stories, these headlines, are posted by people out there in the world.
The audios, this was?
This is a picture. This is a piece of audio. Yeah. So this is how people publish their news, their own news. So someone in D.C. took this picture of the police. You know, with a little commentary, and you can add your own comments to it and paste.
Oh, okay.
So that's
so
that
just
part.
Intermedia.org?
Yep, you can go www.
What they're talking about.
Intermedia.org, or you can go to, I'll show you actually, it's Worldwide Network, and all of these websites here, Europe, Athens, Barcelona, where are you from?
Well, I'm interested in the Middle East, it shows.
Okay. So we will go to... There's Israel and Jerusalem, right. Two different IMCs. A Palestine IMC out there too, somewhere,
Palestine,
I think.
Yeah, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so it's also got open publishing. Here's pictures from a Annapolis siege. The link's not working for some reason.
And you can also, put some audios in there. Like send some audios, yeah?
Yeah. You can publish, let's say you have an MP3 file you made.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to publish it? You can publish it right to the Newswire. I'll show you.
Wow.
Yep, so that's how we share. That's how we share audio. I mean, let me give you the real place to go. For all these people like us out there who like audio, we go to a website called radio.indymedia.org, and this is the place where people who are into radio, audio streaming, and radio shows come and converge and show what projects are going on. I mean, there's tons of information on this page right now. There's links to other audio files, historical events that took place that were covered. But you could use this open publishing system. And look, someone here published 10 files called Osasco.
Wow.
And it's got the little audio icon. And it tells me I'm going to click on the story. And it's by CMI, Relatos por los Pasados que está ocupando. Looks like Portuguese. So it's 0.5 megabytes. Here's the trick. I could download this by clicking on it. And a window comes up and says, you want to save it to disk or do you want to open it? I don't really want to do that right now. I want to do this. I'm going to right-click on it, use my right mouse button, and I'm going to go copy shortcut. So now I've just copied the link to this file into the memory of the computer. And because I have Winamp, because I have this player that can play files, I can go add. I'm going to go to add URL. I can add a directory. Let's say I add a directory. I'm going to add a directory, and it just loads up all of the audio files in that directory into the playlist automatically. I mean, look at this. This is like 594 files.
Wow.
In my audio. I mean, these are hour-long things. These are whole lectures.
Where did you get these files from?
I do a lot of work with audio.
Oh,
so
they were before?
These are all on my hard drive.
Oh, okay.
So I have, I do a lot of work. Plus, this has all my music files. I mean, I just added my whole audio directory
right,
to the playlist.
John Lennon,
yeah, yeah. But I can also add a URL. So I can add a link to someone else's audio on the internet. So I'm going to go paste. I went Control-V. And I pasted the link from the radio site here. So I don't want to download it, but I want to listen to it. And because Winamp can play, can stream the audio, I pasted the link. It adds it to the bottom of my playlist. Now I'm going to double-click on it. And it's streaming. So this thing could be a huge file, but I'm just streaming it and listening to it immediately. That's how I utilize the links on the radio site to add and make my own playlist. Now, right now, I could save this playlist.
Yeah.
And I could go, and I've done this before. I can go to every single audio link out there, copy shortcut, add URL, and then paste over that one, open, and then... Over here, save list. And these are all little text files that are just lists.
Wow.
And I can name the list, something. And I have, basically, as long as that audio stays out there on the internet, my little playlists, I can access things pretty quickly.
Fantastic. Very good.
So then, so this is where the radio people come and meet and converge and share projects that are going on, post stories. Like here's the thing, Iraq Forum audio from June 15th and 16th. The MP3 files are also available. Write me if you want them for files. So this looks like a forum about Iraq. I'm going to click on the link, and here's the entire schedule from this forum that was sponsored by Epic in Washington, D.C. And they posted and they made all the files, real media files. This is the RAM file. So like, they just made them all audio and posted it. They happen to do this in a nice formatted page, but... That's the nuts and bolts. What kind of questions do you have?
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your explanations. Excellent. Really good.
What's your name?
My name is Joseph Elmala.
And where are you from?
I'm from Montreal. I have a program there. It's called Le Quai Palestinien, the Palestinian radio program from Montreal. And it's broadcasted on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Wow, that's awesome. How is it? Can we listen to it on the internet? How do I listen to your show? Where do I go?
You go www.ckut.ca. KUT.ca.
.ca for Canada. So here, I'm listening.
How do I listen to your show? Where do I go?
Okay, I'll check it out. So here I am programming. Is that where I want to go? And the name of your show is Palestine?
The Palestinian program. Yeah, the Palestinian show.
Okay, Mondays. Okay, cool. So the Palestinian Show, Culture and Politics at Home and Abroad, Mondays, 11:30 to 12.
Right. Can you download the program, by the way?
Can I?
Yeah. Can you download it? Can you listen to it?
I don't see it here. Do you have an archive of your show posted on the website?
I think there's an archive. How do you get, you know...
Okay, we're going to go look. Archive. We're going to look for archives. Ear programming, charts, real audio... Features. A 100 different programs support. Radio module, real video. Well, here's how you can tune it into it live. So I can listen to CKUT live. 90.3 FM. If I'm in Montreal, I don't see, unfortunately, the program I listed. There might be program schedule, show descriptions. You may also view comments from our listeners here. And then, let's see, programming schedule. Unfortunately, I don't see anything about the archives anywhere.
What are these things?
Here? These are other shows, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
New shit, Gray Matters, Hearsay. This looks like a great radio station up in Montreal.
Yeah, it's 24 hours a day.
And is it who
has about 400 programs weekly? So it's.
How did you get involved with the radio show?
Well, I presented the proposal to make a program, and they discussed that. It went to the programming committee, and then I had a meeting with them. I made a demo and was accepted, and they asked me to start doing the program.
Don't stress it, sir.
Excellent. And was what do you usually do? You know, if we could hear the show, what would we hear?
You would hear the last show, for example, we interviewed the coordinator for the International Solidarity Committee from Jerusalem. We talked to her by phone on her cell. We also have some interviews with Jews for Peace, a lady from Chicago. I think her name is Cindy Levitt. And we also had two guests in the studio. We also talked about what's happening and their activities. A gentleman from Bruce Katz, he is from where? From PAJU, the Palestinian Jewish group from Montreal. So we have all these people, different interviews. We talked about the Palestinian issues and what's happening, etc.
Is it a call-in show at all?
Not a call-in, no. We talk to guests or we talk to people over the phone.
And what's the response been like in the community in Montreal? Like, how do you get feedback from listeners?
Well, lately the Mirror, a newspaper in Montreal, voted the program one of the top 10 programs in Montreal. That's, the list includes other programs from CBC, CKUT, and other radio stations.
Wow, congratulations. That's pretty heavy duty. That's a great honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I am honored, actually, of this voting. And it seems that there is some... It's also the timing, I guess, of the program. It's the Palestinian issue. It's a very hot issue. And we talk to people from Gaza, from Ramallah, from... We talk to people from North America. See, what's nice about the radio, you can call anybody anywhere in the world, and you can't talk to them, and you're making news right there.
You know. How powerful is the station in Montreal? How many watts?
Well, I know it's a community radio, and it's sponsored by the McGill University.
Oh, okay. So it's a big 10,000, you know, it's probably a big station.
It is a big station. It is a big station, yes. And they have lots of volunteers. We have also a staff, working staff, I think about 10 people working. In addition, you have about 400 programs, weekly programs.
Wow. That's awesome. And how did you come to know about the Grassroots Radio Conference here in New York?
Well, I heard about it from the CKUT. There was communications. We have Gretchen King, who's the director of news of off the hour program. It's during the weekdays from 5 to 6. And she talked about it. The CKUT sent an email to the volunteers, to the staff, and I heard about it. I said, I'm interested. I would like to learn more about the Grassroots Conference and community radios.
Awesome. It's great to have you here. I wish I was doing more interviews today. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about how to fundraise and volunteer and all the tech stuff.
This is a great interview too. Thank you very much. I think you guys, you did an excellent job in your presentations and your talks. It's super. We had from about four people, I guess, five people, and basically about webcasting, which is super.
So you went to an earlier workshop where they had other webcasting tips and how to do it all. And
yes, I did. Yes, I did, and it's super. Of course, I guess we need more information. This is just an introduction to the issue of webcasting. And you've been in the business. You've been in webcasting for a while.
Yeah, a little while. Since my first experience was in January of 2001 with the inauguration of Bush, and we had a coverage of Washington D.C. and that's my first really experience doing webcasting stuff. And ever since then, I've been hooked.
How popular is the webcasting? Is it growing?
Around the world or in Washington?
In Washington and around the world.
I think it's growing tremendously. There's been, it's really popular. More people are slowly getting computers and there's more listeners, but the fact that people are using this as a distribution method to get to FM, that's what's really powerful and amazing. People are using the webcasting just to get it to the radio stations as a syndication, distribution method. So that's really exciting and popular. But there are some webcasters now who I think are sort of scared of the intellectual property stuff. You know, there's all these new laws in America that say if you play songs, you have to pay money. So a lot of webcasters, this is really recent news, here in the United States have sort of either gone off or stopped, or they want to understand the law better, or they don't want to pay any money because of this royalty system. So it doesn't really affect people who do public affairs programming. It's only people who do music, copyrighted material, that it matters. So I think it's expanding, ever more. Everything is getting...
Do you need a license to start a webcasting station?
In the United States, you do not need a license to do a webcast. There are just licensing for FM frequency broadcasting of certain power levels. So... you need to have a fair amount of money and access to technology, which is why not everybody can do it. But because computers are so prolific and there's in cities, people have access to it. Anybody can come up and get involved, really. But I think it's no licensing necessary.
Oh, this is fantastic because I understand in Canada you need a license. You have to go through the CRTC to have a... This is recent. I saw that in their web page. But United States, it doesn't have any regulations on webcasting.
No, not that I know of. I don't think so. just on the content that they're webcasting. That's the first thing they're trying to get a handle on.
So any community, basically any group of people who have a cause, they want to push some issues or they want to talk about some issues, webcasting is a free market for them.
Yeah, that's a fair way to say it. They just need the money for the internet connection, the money for the computers, the money for the mics. Or if they can get it all donated, that's great too. But there is unfortunately still, to get started, a fair amount of stuff you need to get. But there are community webcasting studios popping up all over the place now. And so hopefully they can sustain themselves and keep it going.
Most of the people who have internet, they have already computers. They probably have also CD players. They have also a tape recorder. So they are easy to put together a little studio and connect to the computer and be on the internet and talk about their issues. This is how people become powerful in their cause and their issues. But tell me, if you have all this set up, a little studio in your house or in your office and supporting a specific cause, how much does it cost to be on the internet?
In the United States, you can get an internet connection for $15 a month, $19 a month, to get just a normal dial-up connection. So that would enable you to send out a stream that sounds like, AM quality, good enough for other internet users. And that's like the bare minimum cost to get on the internet. There may be free services too, but they're out there, free AOL and all that stuff. But
this is super. I think you are doing a great job. You are educating the people about how to speak up and express themselves. And eventually everybody will, have a way or a venue to express his opinion. And this is the real freedom. This is the real international community. And you are, pioneers in this field.
I'm just standing on the shoulders of a lot of other people who've taught me how to do things. I mean, this is my first conference here, the Grassroots Radio Conference, and these are veteran. These people have been doing this for 30 years, and it's a real honor to be here because there's so much knowledge in all these people. But the geeky stuff, yeah, I'm kind of pioneering. I don't really pioneer much. I just learn from other people and use it.
Yeah, well, we all learn from each other and we complement each other. But you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Joseph. Let's go get some dinner.